Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today, we're diving into Starbucks' second quarter 2026 results. And folks, this is a story about a turnaround that's actually working.
Before we jump in, I need to share our standard disclaimer. This podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Right. And what a quarter to analyze. Starbucks just delivered something they haven't done in over 2 years: simultaneous top and bottom line growth.
The numbers are pretty impressive. Revenue hit $9.5 billion, up 9% year-over-year. But Jordan, what really caught my attention was that earnings per share jumped 50 cents, up 22% from last year.
Exactly. And CEO Brian Niccol was clearly excited about this milestone. He called it a turn in our turnaround, which is quite the statement. The global comparable sales growth of 6% was driven by what he described as terrific performance across the business, especially in the U.S.
Let's break down those U.S. numbers because they're really telling. U.S. comps accelerated to over 7%, with more than 4 percentage points coming from transaction growth. Niccol mentioned they haven't seen this kind of transaction strength in 3 years.
That transaction growth is huge, Alex. It means people are actually visiting more, not just spending more per visit. And here's what's fascinating: they're seeing broad-based growth across all income levels and age demographics. In this economic environment, that's remarkable.
Speaking of remarkable, let's talk about their Back to Starbucks strategy. Niccol really emphasized their Green Apron service model. Jordan, can you explain what they're tracking here?
Sure. They use something called a GROW scorecard that tracks customer comments, throughput, staffing, and food safety. They measure stores on a five-shot system, and since launching this in October, they've seen over a 30 percentage point increase in stores delivering four or more shots. But here's the kicker: about 40% of stores still aren't at that four-shot level, so there's room to grow.
That's a great operational insight. And internationally, all top 10 markets, including China, posted positive comparable sales for the first time in 9 quarters. Though there's a big strategic shift happening with China, isn't there?
Absolutely. They completed their transaction with BoYu Capital, transitioning China to a joint venture model. CFO Catherine Smith mentioned this deal is valued at more than $13 billion, and Starbucks received about $3.1 billion in cash proceeds. Starting in third quarter, China will be deconsolidated from their financials.
Now let's talk guidance, because management got pretty confident here. They raised their global comparable sales growth guidance to 5% or better and boosted their EPS range to $2.25-$2.45.
Right. And when analysts pressed on why the EPS raise wasn't even higher given the strong performance, Smith was candid about macro headwinds. She mentioned elevated coffee prices, almost $1 per pound year-over-year, and tariff impacts, though both are expected to moderate in the back half of the year.
One thing that jumped out in the Q&A was the discussion about their rewards program. They just redesigned it in March, and typically that causes some disruption. But Niccol said membership actually grew, which is unusual for that quarter.
That's impressive execution. The new program has 3 tiers: Green, Gold, and Reserve, and they introduced a popular 60-star redemption option that accounts for about a third of all redemptions. Niccol seemed genuinely excited about this, even mentioning his own Reserve card.
There was also interesting commentary about their innovation pipeline. Their Refresher platform, which is already a $2 billion business, grew over 40% in second quarter. They're now offering customizable caffeine levels, which is resonating across different day parts and demographics.
And let's not forget the physical transformation. They've completed over 300 store uplifts with zero closure days, and they're accelerating to over 1,000 by year-end. Niccol mentioned visiting a Nashville store that had completely transformed in just 1 year.
What's your take on the sustainability of this turnaround, Jordan?
I think the operational focus is smart. They're not just throwing marketing dollars at problems, they're fixing the fundamentals. The fact that they're seeing transaction growth across all income levels suggests the value proposition is working. Plus, their $2 billion cost savings program through 2028 gives them flexibility.
Though we should note the margin pressures. North America operating margin contracted about 170 basis points to 10.2%, partly due to those product and distribution cost increases Smith mentioned.
True, but that's why their approach of grow the top line first, margins will follow, makes sense. They're investing in the long-term health of the business. And internationally, margins expanded dramatically, almost 790 basis points to 20.3%.
Looking ahead, they're expecting to add 600 to 650 net new stores globally this year. The growth story seems to be back on track.
Exactly. And what I find encouraging is management's acknowledgement that the path forward will not be linear. They're being realistic about challenges while executing consistently on their strategy.
Any final thoughts on what investors should watch going forward?
I'd keep an eye on those operational metrics, the percentage of stores hitting 4+ shots on their scorecard, transaction growth sustainability, and how well they execute those store uplifts. The rewards program engagement will be key too.
Great points. This feels like a company that's found its operational rhythm again after some challenging years.
Before we wrap up, I need to remind everyone that everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Absolutely right, Jordan. Thanks for joining us on Beta Finch. We'll be back with more AI-powered earnings analysis soon. Until then, keep those portfolios diversified and those research habits strong.
See you next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.